A little bit this morning, going to be a little shorter because if you notice, we have a baptism today. Amen. If anybody needs to get baptized, well, we can get you too. But I want to talk for a few minutes here about the power of a grateful heart. And I was texting Alex about graphics and stuff. Alex, how many guys like all the graphics that Alex does for us every week? Amen. Thank you, Alex. Appreciate it. We appreciate it, man. A lot of creativity there. And let's just, you know what, let's clap our hands. I'm going to embarrass Josh Kozak a little bit. He helped me set up this tank yesterday. So let's, thank you, Josh. It's a bear setting that thing up. So anyway, as I shared at the end of worship there, church, I'm just going to say this. I think I said it last year. You know, Christmas time, I've become as a pastor, I don't particularly like Christmas time all that much. And I don't like what we've made Christmas out to be, right? Obviously, we're celebrating. We all know Jesus wasn't born on December 25th. We all know that, right? And however people think it's pagan or not pagan, whatever, I'm so over that argument. We know Jesus wasn't born on December 25th, but that's the time that we celebrate it. But it's all the other stuff that gets on us, and we feel pressured to, you know, I was listening to Christian radio the other day, and there was an entire program, and this, all she was talking about is how to not be stressed out at Christmas time. On Christian radio. I said, for crying out loud, this is what we're talking about? On Christian radio, not the gospel, how to not get stressed out at Christmas time. What on earth are we doing? All the people that are stressed out are squirming in their chair. Amen. But you know, church, I think part of the reason that Christmas has become what it's become is because we've lost a grateful heart. Can I get an amen? Amen. It's true. Thanks. Everybody say Thanksgiving. Say it again. Thanksgiving. Look at this. I found this. This is in the dictionary, church. Thanksgiving. In the dictionary. This is not Christian. This is the dictionary. Ever said the dictionary? Four definitions for Thanksgiving. Number one, the act of giving thanks, grateful acknowledgement of benefits or favors, especially to God. What? In the dictionary. Number two, an expression of thanks, especially to God. Capital G, not lowercase g, not a God, to the God. Number three, a public celebration and acknowledgement of divine favor or kindness. A public celebration and acknowledgement of divine favor or kindness. Thanksgiving. Number four, a day set apart for giving thanks to God. Yikes, that's in the dictionary, y'all. Praise God, they haven't messed that thing up too bad yet. They're still at least talking about God a little bit, right? Imagine what it would look like if, let's face it, church, Thanksgiving now, we get together with probably most of us with our families, and that's great, and we enjoy it, and it's cool. We eat a lot of turkey, and we eat stuffing and cranberry sauce. I love cranberry sauce. It's my favorite. Man, can I get amen? Some gravy? Yeah, baby. Some mashed taters. Right? And then we watch football and we fall asleep on the couch and snore and eat pie. Lots of pie. But you know, look at what we've done in our culture. When did Black Friday start, church? 10 years ago, 15 years ago, whatever it was, Black Friday. By the way, some of your deals you're getting on Black Friday aren't really that great. Watch what the stores are doing. They creep prices up for 3 months. And then, pow, the price is the same it was back in August, y'all. You're getting tricked a little bit. Sometimes you get a good deal. But think about it. The day after we're supposed to be grateful, according to the dictionary, We're supposed to have a public celebration of acknowledgement of God's divine favor and kindness. Literally the next day, we're killing folks to get a microwave. It's marketing. Marketing 101. Marketing is trying to manipulate people to get you to do what I want you to do. Can I get amen? I tell you, church, I'm right here, man. It's hard for me. I still struggle. I like nice stuff, man. It's hard for me. I drive by now the dealership on the way to church. There's a not brand new. It's a really nice Cadillac. And this dealership, nicer than the one that got wrecked last year. And I drive by my 20-year-old SUV, and I'm like, Lord, help me. Lord, I'm thankful in Jesus' name. I start speaking in tongues. Lord, I'm grateful for my 20-year-old SUV that I got no payments on, and the taxes are cheap, and it runs. Fits all my kids. Is this all right, church? Couple scriptures here. Psalm 100, I quoted this one a moment ago, but Psalm 100, let's read it in context here. Verse 1, shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful singing. Know that the Lord himself is God. It is he who has made us, and that we ourselves, we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his loving kindness is everlasting, and his faithfulness to all generations. Now, isn't it funny? When you throw some context in it, verse 3 finishes by saying that we are the people, we are his people and the sheep of his pasture, right? Pasture. Now, I'm not a farmer, but if I was, I know a little bit about a pasture is where you let the livestock, you let them out, and they just roam around, and they eat everything, and but when they come, when you call them back, you know what they got to go through? A gate. So in other words, what the psalmist is saying, my beloved, is every human on the planet is a creation of God, right? They are technically his people in a very general sense. Do you understand what I'm saying? But he's saying you can't come, be a child of God, an adopted child of God without coming through his gate. I think Jesus talked about that as well, did he not? Behold, only the shepherd goes through the gate. Anything else tries to sneak in the back door. Is that true? And years ago, the Lord spoke to me about this verse, and this is what he said to me. It's tough, but this is what he said. He said, son, you're not even allowed on my property without thanksgiving. Is that? Yikes. Come on, you ever drive by, like, we go to my parents' house up at the lake in the summer, and there's some real nice houses up there. In the driveways, they're way up, they're big, long driveways, and the driveway has a gate at the bottom. It's at the edge of their property. And unless they know who you are, they're not going to let you in their property. Is that true? Let alone welcome you into their home. This is what the Lord's saying, that we have to enter his gates with thanksgiving. And his courts, we can't even get to his courts unless we are grateful for what the Lord's done. Is that true? Psalm 95, it says this. Oh, come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with, oh, let's say it together, church, with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms. It sounds to me like the dictionary's got a pretty good handle on what the Bible says about thanksgiving. Definition number 3, a public celebration and acknowledgement of divine favor or kindness. Shout joyfully to him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God, and a great king above all gods, big G, little g, in whose hands are the depths of the earth. The peaks of the mountains also are his. The sea is his, for it was he who made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Think about, my beloved, the school systems in the last 30, 40 years have systematically tried to dumb down the creative power of God. Is that right? You know why the ocean stops where it stops? Because God said so. Amen. If you take creation out of, look around and take creation out of it, take God out of the mix, you need way more faith than putting God into the mix. I heard folks say, I love it. I said, I ain't got enough faith to be an atheist. It makes no sense. Is that true? Why do the mountains look the way they do? Because God made them. Why is the Grand Canyon the way it is? Because God made it that way. Can I get an amen? Let's think about what this psalmist is really saying here. Because what we tend to do, my beloved, if we're a decent human being, we would typically be thankful. If Kevin did something nice for me, I would show some thanksgiving towards Kevin. Is that right? Somebody does something, we'd be saying, man, thank you so much. And we might even say publicly, as I acknowledge Josh this morning, man, thank you so much for helping me. It would have taken me all day to set that tank up. Probably still wouldn't have been done. Do you understand what I'm saying, church? When somebody does something nice for us, if we're a decent human being, we're going to say, man, I'm going to show some thanksgiving, some gratitude. But if we look at this Psalm 95, the reason the psalmist is telling us to come before his presence with thanksgiving has nothing to do with us. Do you see that? Come before his presence with thanksgiving. Verse 3, for the Lord, or because the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. Whoa. Let me just ask you a question, a rhetorical question. Have you ever like gone out in your yard, in the backyard, and just looked up at the sky and thought, man, what is this creation? You've seen something amazing in creation and thought, look at what God did. That's what he's going on to say. In God's hand are the depths of the earth. The peaks of the mountains are his. The sea is his. It was he who made it. It was his hands that formed the dry land. God, it's like the psalmist is trying to say, look, get over yourself and get over what you, of course, if God blesses you, you should be like, well, Lord, thank you so much. But he's saying, look, if God does nothing for you, we should be giving him thanks because of who he is, because of his awesomeness, because of how amazing and majestic God is. Imagine if we came to church on Sunday and we decided to publicly celebrate God's goodness with joyful shouts. You think that the climate would change a little bit? Is that true? We'll make a point here, church. What we're seeing, these two passages, what we're seeing is that praise flows out of thanksgiving. Praise flows out of thanksgiving. If you have trouble, or I have trouble, praising God, it's because I'm having trouble being thankful to God. If I'm grateful to the Lord, I have many, many things that I can praise him for. Is that true? And if you think about it, I'm not going to do this, but if I was to give everybody a piece of paper right now and say, hey, you've got 3 minutes to write down in your piece of paper, myself included, everything that you are grateful to God for, I'm not sure that we'd be too impressed with our lists. Is that true, church? Isn't it much easier to find out, to look at what's wrong and what is not working out the way we think it should, and what's not coming through, and what prayer has not been answered, and all these things, what's wrong in the world, right? We look at Washington, D.C., or we look at what's going on in Ukraine with Russia, and we look at all around the world. Well, isn't it so easy to look around and say, look at what's wrong. Look at what God's not doing. God's not doing this, and God's not doing that. And this is wrong, and that's wrong, and what all on and on and on and on. Instead of taking a step back and saying, wait a second, let's look at what God is doing. Let's look at what God has done. And if he has done this, then he's not a man that he should lie, not a man that he should change his mind. If he's done this, then he will do this. Does that make sense, church? Ephesians 5. Let's bring some New Testament into this. Ephesians 5, verse 5. A little bit of context again here. Paul says, therefore, be careful how you walk. Not as unwise men, but as wise. Making the most of your time because the days are wonderful. Oh, my bad. Because why do we have to make the most of our time, church? Because the days are what? This was written 2,000 years ago. If they were evil then, I don't think they're getting better now. So then, verse 17, Paul says, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that's dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, capital S, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. Verse 20, here we go. Always, oh, come on, say it together, church. Always, always giving thanks for Pastor Al, didn't you get in trouble for this verse a long time ago? For how many things, church?
Always.
So let's say this together. Well, again, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father, and be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. So let's tie a couple things together here. I won't be much longer. In verse 17, Paul tells us not to be foolish, but to understand what the will of the Lord is. How many people, raise your hand, want to know what God's will is for your life? Right? It's an important thing. Here's the thing. I remember David DeMarco, he said this years ago, many years ago he came and he says, here's the problem in the church today. There's a lot of problems. One problem is that so many believers want to know what the custom will of God is for their life while they bypass the general will of God for their life. Right? There's many, many scriptures, which we just read one. I'm going to expound on it in a moment here. There's many scriptures that apply to us as followers of Jesus, right? I don't care what your particular role might be in the kingdom, but as a follower of Christ, he says, here's what you need to be doing. Is that true?
Yes.
We should all be the same kind of fruit tree. Is that right? Fruit of the Holy Spirit, right? There shouldn't be apple trees and orange trees and lemon trees and kiwi growing trees. I don't know what they grow on, but you know what I mean? There shouldn't be all kinds of different trees in God's orchard. Can I get an amen? We all should be producing the same fruit of the Holy Spirit with different gifts. Amen. Is that true? So think about it like this. What the will of God is, God had a will for you to be a pastor. Okay, yes, but you know what his will is for me, church? Always giving thanks for all things. Do you see this? Don't be foolish. Understand what the will of the Lord is. Then he says, don't be drunk on wine, for that's dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. How do we know what the will of God is? Because we're filled with the Holy Spirit, right? Now here's what the will of God is. For you. Say for me. Here's what the will of God is for each one of us every day. Speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Like, Pastor, that sounds weird. It is. Totally weird. What would it look like if we just walked around? Could you imagine, like, you wake up in the morning, you roll over and you see your spouse. You go, bless thee, O great spouse of mine. Thou art exalted, highly favored by the Lord. What? So bizarre, isn't it? I think he's talking, church, more about a heart posture than what we're actually saying. Is that true? Always giving thanks for all things. For all things. It's easy to give thanks for things that we are would naturally be grateful for. It's learning to be thankful for things that are painful, things that are confusing, things that are at the time seem opposite of what we're believing God for. Is that true? Many years ago, we had a tough season in our church, and we had some families leave, and it was a very hurtful time for me. And I remember as I was praying about it and grinding through it, the Spirit of the Lord said to me clearly, he said, how about you be grateful for the season that those people were here instead of being upset that they're no longer here? Because for a season, they were here, and they gave money to the church, and they shared their gifts with the church, and they helped the church, the worship team, or various ministries, or whatever. How about you be grateful for that instead of being angry that they're gone? I said, I don't want to do that. I'd rather wallow in my self-pity. But I tell you what, church, as I started grinding on that and started seeing the hand of God in things that I normally wouldn't see the hand of God in, I started seeing a shift in how I perceive things, and I started being able to take things much more in stride. Things that started hitting me sideways didn't blow me off course nowhere near as often as an extreme as they used to. There's a great story in the book of Genesis. I'll preach on it probably sometime next year, but I just want to touch on it quickly. The story of Joseph, which we all know. I hope we all know that story. That's where his brothers, he's the second youngest in the family, his brothers throw him in a pit and then sell him to slave traders and all these things. But if you get all the way to the end, it's Genesis 50, I think it's verse 20, and his brothers still think that Joseph's going to kill them because of what they did. They still think he already promised he wouldn't in chapter 46, but they still think so. And they're talking, and Joseph figures out what they're talking about. And he says, look, you didn't understand something. And this is how it's worded, church. What you intended for evil, God intended for good. And the wording is there in the Hebrew. In other words, church, what Joseph realizes now, 15, 18, 19, 22 years, however many years, there's a little varying years there. What Joseph finally realizes after going through all this stuff is he says, it wasn't like you guys did all this bad stuff to me and God was just watching with his arms folded. And then at the end, God says, okay, now I'll fix it. What Joseph realizes is that the hand of God is in every single step of the journey. Joseph is saying, look, it wasn't you that sold me threw me in a pit. That was God. It wasn't you sold me into slavery. That was God. It wasn't Potiphar that threw me into prison. That was God. God was moving in all these horrible situations, all these things that we would never say that was God. And he was saying, God had a destination in mind for me. God had to do something in my heart to position me so when the dream came to pass, I would receive it with humility and gratitude, not with arrogance and pride. Amen. Amen. Can I challenge you, church? Almost done here. This week. I know nobody's going to get mad about anything this week because we're so spiritual. The next time you want to get mad about something, take a step back and say, God, help me be grateful. Right now. Help me be grateful right now. Help me see, God, that you are in it. You're in it. As ugly as it might be, you're in it. Amen. Amen. Philippians 4, last one. We all know this one, but let's look at a key to this scripture. Be anxious for how much, church? For nothing. How many people think that's easy? Be anxious for nothing, but in everything. Everybody say everything. Sounds all inclusive to me, yeah? Everything by prayer and supplication and whining, let your requests be made known to God. Nah. With in everything with by prayer and supplication, let's say church together, with thanksgiving. Oh. And let's back up to look at our definition of thanksgiving here. A public celebration and acknowledgement of divine favor or kindness. But in everything by prayer and supplication, with a public acknowledgement of divine favor or kindness, let your requests be made known to God. Ever say and? And the peace of God, which surpasses all knowledge, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. How many people need a little bit of guarding for your heart and your mind other than just me? Come on, church. I've been having trouble sleeping lately, and it's like I got the craziest, wildest, most random dreams, car accidents, weird stuff. Pow, wake up. Pow, pow. Constant. Had some friends prayed for me last night, and that they just said, man, they prayed for me, and I said, in Jesus' name, I'm done with these crazy dreams, man. Completely random stuff. Just wake up, wake up, wake up. I'm tired all the time. I can't sleep. But I said, in Jesus' name, I'm going to sleep. I slept so much better last night. Man, praise God. Can I get amen? We need to look at two things here, church. First of all, verse 7 is conditional. Everybody say conditional on verse 6. How many people like that? Nobody. We don't like conditional statements in the Bible, do we? And is a conditional word. It's there. It's a connecting word. In other words, when we do verse 6, verse 7 is a promise. It's a guarantee, but we got to do verse 6. So when anxiety begins to rise and come upon us, come on, church, I don't know how you can live in today's culture and not have some type of anxiety trying to get on you. I don't care which side of the political fence you stand on. I don't care what you're looking at. There is so much stuff out here that's trying to get us to look into the future and go, oh, what's going to happen? Is that true? The key, my beloved, is not to pray and supplicate. Supplicate just means to pray fervently, is what the Greek word means. That's not the key. I know. You know how many Christians I've known over the years that pray? I had one lady told me she prays 6 hours a day. 6 hours. And I couldn't help but say, why is your life such a mess still? Goodness gracious. Something ain't working. Can I get an amen? Some people, let's be a monk. Let's go live up on top of a mountain somewhere. No, that's not God's will either. We're supposed to get with God on the mountain and go back down to the valley of the shadow of death. Can I get amen? That's Peter. Hey, let's stay up here. Jesus is like, dude, no. We got to go back down there. Go back down there and help everybody else. You see this, church? Anxiety, as I've preached a few weeks ago, is a weapon of the devil. It's a weapon of the enemy trying to get us off kilter and trying to get us unstable and unsure of what's coming in the future. Is that true? So the key to making prayer and supplication work is with thanksgiving. Now let's think about this in closing. The Greek word here for thanksgiving, as well as giving thanks in the previous passage we looked at in Ephesians 5, is the word eucharistos, which I thought, wow, that's fascinating. That's where we get the Eucharist from, right? Which Catholic Church and some other denominations, that's what they call communion. They call it the Eucharist. So I thought that's interesting. And as I started thinking about that, I go, gosh, we know that Paul talks about if we take communion in an unworthy manner. He warns us about this, right? He says, because there's people that take communion in an unworthy manner, there's some among you who are weak and sick and even dead, he says. And I've always wondered, what is the unworthy manner? Anybody else ever wonder that? And when I saw this Greek word here, Eucharistos, thanksgiving, I thought, gosh, is that what it is? Do we come, take communion, it's just, oh, time for communion. But are we coming and taking the bread and saying, oh, God, thank you so much. Thank you that you, Lord Jesus, that you were whipped and beaten and bled for me. We take the blood, do we take it? And say, oh, that's the blood. Yeah, praise God, thank you for the blood. Or is there something deep inside of us that's where there's gratitude welling up in us and we have thanksgiving in our heart? Can I get an amen? Last point here, church. If we think about anxiety for one more moment, anxiety is different than fear. Fear typically is a production of anxiety, but anxiety is what happens when we look. See, you can't look at something that already happened to you and have anxiety about it. That's not how it works. You can be upset about it. You can feel regret about it. You can say, man, I wish I could do that over again, or whatever it might be. Anxiety is what we experience when we look into the future and something is potentially going to happen that we don't like. Is that right? Most people that struggle with anxiety, yes, and when they feel it coming up, what are you anxious about? Most of them say, I don't know. But it's always about something in the future, right? There's a future event coming. But think about this. Thanksgiving is typically, in our human nature, is something that we express after something good has happened to us. So isn't it funny that Paul says that the key to overcoming anxiety, which is coming in the future, is to use something from your past that was good and take that thanksgiving that you have from something that already happened, that God already did for you, and apply it to this future thing that you're not sure how it's going to work out. Does that make sense? How many people have been healed from something physically? Come on, raise your hand nice and high. Yeah, come on, church. How many of you have been healed in your heart from something, brokenhearted? All right, how many people have been delivered off of some type of substance abuse issues? Or how many people have seen your family healed? Whatever it might be. You've seen God come through financially. You've seen God provide, you protect you, divine protection, all kinds of things. When we look into the future with some anxiety starts coming, what we need to do is grab some thanksgiving from what God has already done and say, God has brought me this far. God has done this. God has protected me. He's provided for me. He's healed me. He's guided me. He's done all these things. And so in the future, I will not allow the uncertainty of what's going to happen to dictate my behavior. I will allow the goodness of what God has already done to overshadow the potential calamity that might be coming. Is that true? And the promise, my beloved, when we make that choice, it's like we free God, in a sense, to then guard our hearts and our minds. Do you see that? I love Peter. When Peter talks about anxiety as well, he says to cast all our cares on him. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, casting all your anxieties on him. It's an act of humility, church. Is that good? Let's stand up. Told you guys I was going to be done quick, early. I looked up this word, eucharistos. I did some research on it. And in the Greek language, here's really what this word means. It's more than a word. Hey man. Thanks, Kevin. Right? Well, that's good. We should say that, you know? We sit down for dinner every single night, except for Tuesdays, because I make dinner on Tuesdays. But all the other nights of the week, we sit down for dinner, and we pray. And then all of us, we say thank you to my wife for making dinner. You know how many people don't thank their parents for making them dinner anymore? You know what, parents? I'll give you a little advice. Don't make dinner for a couple nights. Where's dinner? It's in the fridge. Can I get an amen? Our culture has been on us for decades now, grinding away at our ability to be grateful. Amen. This Greek word, church, eucharistos, it's really a gratitude that rises inside of us as we recognize that someone has done something that's so extravagant, so undeserving, so irrationally kind, that it should impact you for the rest of your life. In other words, he's looking to the cross right there. This word is talking about the cross. And because we live in such a prosperous culture, which praise God, we live in America still, but we're constantly bombarded about, hey man, what's the last thing Jesus did for you? I don't know, man, he saved me. Who cares what else he did? He bought me with a price. I'm not my own, Paul says. And yet we're constantly like, okay, Jesus, what do I get next? It's like we're 4-year-old kids at Christmas time. We're just shredding presents. What's the next thing? As soon as we open one, we just throw it. What's next? What's next, Jesus? It's like, did you appreciate what I already gave you? Amen. That's tough, church, but church, I'm right here. I'm not preaching at you guys. I'm preaching with you. Can I get an amen? Let's pray for a moment. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray that this holiday that we just blow through as a culture now, that by the Spirit of the Lord, you do something inside of us today, God. That we live every day and say, man, every day's Thanksgiving. Father, those of us that are struggling, maybe there's some marriages that are struggling or families or some people struggling financially, some health issues, whatever it might be. Father, I pray that we wake up tomorrow morning and say, Lord, thank you. The first word out of our mouth, thank you. As we stumble down the stairs to make that first pot of coffee, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that I'm saved. Thank you that I've been born again. Thank you for the Spirit of your Spirit living inside of me. Thank you for the truth of your word. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you that you chose to wake me up this morning. Thank you for my spouse if you're married. Thank you for my kids. My kids are driving me crazy. Well, maybe it's because you're not grateful. Maybe as we start being more grateful for our children, they'll drive us a little bit less crazy. Just a little bit. I could have children that are sick, and I don't, and they're crazy. But God, thank you that they have all this energy, and they're driving me nuts right now. Maybe I need to learn more patience. But Spirit of the Lord, we pray right now that you would convict our hearts and that we would become people overflowing with thanksgiving. In Jesus' name, everyone said amen. Amen. Let's clap our hands one more time for the Lord. Amen. So guys, we're going to hang out for a few minutes. I need to change. And we have a baptism this morning. Hopefully you're all going to stick around Facebook and YouTube. Thank you, guys. I don't know, Alex, if you want to leave the stream up, that's fine. Not that they can really see anything, but I hope everybody's going to stick around. We finished early on purpose. And we'll be ready to go in a few minutes, but Maite is going to be baptized this morning. And I think it looks like her family came to join us. Thank you guys so much. And we will be out in a few moments, and we'll proceed with baptizing this young lady in the name of the Lord. Amen. So guys, just hang out a little bit and in fellowship. We'll be back in a minute.